I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
That was the fastest I've ever walked in your apartment, and we've started recording. I literally walked in the door a minute and a half ago.
You asked.
I did.
And I deliver.
And you were ready.
Well, I had to do a voiceover audition.
Ooh,
before
even
you came.
More fun like this.
So I did it.
It was all out.
I was like, do I need a reader for this? And they were like, no. But I didn't know because it was like a scene. So I literally just like.
You just read yourself. Yeah. That's hard. Yeah.
I mean, I am an
You're a professional
incredible actor.
So you can do any and all things asked of you, of course.
Anyway,
how you doing? A little sicky?
I'm a little sicky, which is fine.
A little sexy, too.
A little sexy over here. Mm-hmm.
A Slytherin
yes.
sweatshirt, just for full effect, everyone.
I am really freaked out by Instagram.
What happened?
The Instagram algorithm of it all.
Uh-huh.
Because just particularly in the story, the three bubbles and how they choose to come up and why. And I feel like I've decided.
You mean the bubbles that at the top of your screen?
No, when you are looking at your own story, mm-hmm. it'll show the first three people. Of the list.
Oh, of like who's seen it. Yeah.
Who gets prioritized.
You see the little bits at the corner. Yeah.
And I'm like, why are these people moving up? I'm freaked out because I decided that I think it has to do with how much you're interacting. Like, because it's linked through phone numbers that if they notice if you're.
Interesting.
Because people had moved down and I was like, great. And then all of a sudden they pop back up. And my friend and I have been texting more in the past like week than we have in like 2 years.
Yeah.
And he just popped up.
Wow. Probably.
Because it's not like I'm.
I mean, our phone is like internally spying on us in all times and always.
It was a nightmare.
So that's probably true.
I'm like, ugh! I was literally weird, like, is it because I'm saying this name out loud?
Yeah. Strange.
Like I don't.
Because it can't be. That's funny actually too. The guy I was seeing from like April to like August. Very in. Yeah, RIP.
Oh my God, I didn't know.
We both ghosted each other, which is perfect.
I
just in time for the season.
Love a mutual ghost.
Exactly. But like we like messaged on Instagram a little bit, but not very much at all. But he would also pop up at the top of all of those lists and
but
like
were,
stories
like, texting
and stuff. Exactly.
Because
we were texting. Yeah.
Maybe that's
weird.
What
maybe,
it is.
Maybe you figured
maybe
out
figured
the secrets.
I was like, the only thing is that my
Child
phone.
Sleuth.
Another case solved by Brooke Wiseman, child detective. Speaking of, I was sitting, I caught a fly in a cup.
I'm impressed.
I was like, I had my cup and it had landed on the top of my cup and I took another cup and I just got it.
Nicely done.
And then I released it back into the wild.
Oh, so kind of you.
Because Ahimsa.
Of course. We, one summer at camp, had a fly infestation. They were just like everywhere all the time, more mm-hmm. so than all the time you're outside normally. Mm-hmm. And granted, because there were so many of them, and I'm sure their gene pool was muddied, they were a little bit lazy, but I got really good at just killing them in the air.
Oh my God.
We would sit on the porch.
Hands.
Yeah, we would just sit on the porch and we'd have competitions to see who could kill more just by clapping.
I'm both
hands.
Like so horrified by that and like a little turned on.
Yeah, it's the turn on part I really get. It's very satisfying.
I'm like,
it's kind of like zip popping, you know? Little horrifying, little satisfying.
Zip zapping?
Mm-hmm. Zip zap zap, baby. Zit popping?
Zit popping.
Mm-hmm. Where you're both like repulsed and deeply satisfied at the same time.
Yes. Uh-huh. Anyway.
Those are the important things, really.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi, Brooke.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome to
Splash.
I just spooked myself.
You did.
I said it in my head.
But you like didn't make it out of here.
I was like, Brooke, why aren't you saying words?
That all happened in a nanosecond. It's amazing. Welcome to
Splat, the podcast where me, Brooke,
and me, Bridget,
talk about sex in the city. 10 years younger
and 20 years later.
Wow.
Guys, I have thoughts about this one. I reacted emotionally very strongly to it in ways you can probably predict.
I have to admit that I watched it immediately after watching the last episode It made me I'm very excited about it.
I put together a couple of things too, which I didn't realize until anyway, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Should we dive right in? Do we have any housekeeping? Emily Stout, girlfriend of the pod. We are
who at this point we talk about more than literally anyone else.
Yeah, because she's our girlfriend.
Huge apologies.
So sorry.
Emily
and
pointed
to
out.
Everybody.
I know, because I know your weeks were incomplete with this. Yeah. But listen, last week we
forgot to do deltas ups and deltas downs.
And like, I know there aren't words we can say to make up for that kind of hurt.
I know that you've been literally thinking about it every other second of your day.
There are no excuses. Honestly, there aren't even explanations, you know?
No,
but like, we wouldn't deign to give you excuses. You're better than that. We're better than that.
Don't dignify us with a response.
Honestly, just leave us on red and we'll all move on with our lives. Yeah. So sorry about it.
So
that's a house kept.
A good house.
Bada bing, bada boom, baby.
A good house is kept. We put a Glade plug-in in our apartment and
it
smells
nice.
Better, right?
It does smell. To be fair, though, I didn't smell the bad smell when I was in here last time either.
That's because the closet was closed.
Mm-hmm. Who's in that closet, though?
Not a dead mouse anymore.
That's all that matters.
Who is in the closet, I wonder?
Maybe a skeleton for the holidays. Skeletons in the closet.
David has pumpkins. Okay.
Oh, how excited are you about Ariana having a part in singing Wicked?
Because I'm not surprised, but I'm
no,
thrilled.
No.
Guys.
I just love that she loves it.
Should
as
we take a moment
do.
To.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Speaking of R.I.P.
Pete Nari.
There it is. Pete Nari. Yeah.
If you were to, yeah.
Mostly, honestly, not even R.I.P. the relationship. I just want Ariana Grande to be safe and cared for and surrounded by love at all times.
Yeah.
She's had the most insane year.
Yeah.
And I love her. That's all.
Great.
I just want to be happy. I want Ari to be happy. Happy. It's especially sad.
I
right
also
now.
Want Ari to be happy.
Yeah. Hi, Ari. You're not listening.
You're not listening.
he only listens to himself. So.
Well.
You know.
Alex.
Guys, oh, wait. No, this is yet another, your friend last week who got really excited about Ari Shapiro being on the podcast. Uh-huh. So when we're on Spotify.
Ow.
And when we got on Spotify, I posted a story that was like listening to my Brooke Wiseman and Ari Shapiro, and my sister's best friend from high school, who I love very much and who messages me sometimes, wrote to me and was like, bah! And she was like, oh, I just got really excited because I thought it was Ari Shapiro. And she goes, he's from Portland. So I thought it would work. Portland never leaves.
NPR Shapiro. This podcast is brought to you by Portland, Oregon.
And sponsored by NPR Shapiro. Please don't sue us.
We have nothing but great admiration for you.
Truly, for your work, for your voice,
NPR
for your
Ariana
network.
Grande, NPR oh, Shapiro. Maybe you should be NPR Ariana Grande for Halloween.
Wow. Honestly, that's kind of great. Good thing I haven't bought the overalls yet. I have my eye on a pair, but.
Oh, right.
Because I got to put it together.
I think I'm just going to be like Eliza Thornberry.
I think that's a great idea.
And Hillary's going to be the sister.
Oh,
we're trying
perfect.
To get Garrett to be the monkey. I don't think he's going to do it.
I don't know.
We also, this is not a podcast about friends, but we talked about we wanted to be, have Garrett be Ross, and we would be Ross's ex-wives.
Oh, fun. See, that doesn't mean too much
so
to
niche.
Me.
But let's talk about Sex and the City.
It's not that niche for a lot of people.
I know.
But for me, that's niche.
For you? What's the niche?
For me, that's just a steaming order of niche pudding.
Niche pudding?
Pudding isn't steaming, but
no,
we'll move past that.
But it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're a steaming pile of pudding.
That's right.
Bridget looks so cool right now.
She did tell me I looked like Han Solo when
okay,
I walked
I'm
in,
just
so.
Going to pull up a quick photo of Han Solo for reference.
I see the colors
She's
now
wearing
match.
This like beautiful, cool wrap sweater and her corduroy pants and this belt.
Yeah,
and
this belt
just
is
like,
an amazing one.
It looks like a fucking space belt.
It's pretty
I'm
insane.
Gonna make her take a photo before.
And you're gonna side by side.
Come
him.
On.
Okay, yeah, I really
All
am
she needs is a
doing
little
it.
Vest.
It's true. And a little holster.
Wow. Anyway.
Anyway, I love this belt. It was my sister's for a long time. It's the best belt.
It's a good belt.
And I rediscovered it in the back of my dresser and was like, well, I'm wearing this every day.
Oh my God, amazing. So this episode is called
Critical Condition. I'm just going to say it because what else do I do? Carrie's fucking insufferable.
I know.
Also, this was my first, the beginning of this episode, I was like, oh, we found a Carrie and Brooke non-crossover moment where Brooke can't relate at all because Carrie's in the audience at like a cabaret that Marcus is performing in.
And it's Mary fucking Testa. Mary fucking Testa is singing all that jazz. I was literally, I put it on and I went into the kitchen to do something and I was like a fucking squirrel. I was like, what is Mary Testa doing?
Scrambled around the corner.
I was like, can't be Michael John Lacusa Muse Mary Testa.
I gotta be honest, none of those words meant anything to me, but I love how much they meant to you. And Carrie's like miserable in the audience of this thing. So that's it. That's where the Venn diagram does not connect.
I mean, I will say that in the scenario that I am at this, I would also need to be belligerently drunk.
It's true, but almost for a different reason, you know? Carrie's like a can't function there at all.
These can be bad.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. She's there with Stanford because she's supporting him, and she's really stressful. Instead of the musical review they're at, she's concerned about her review because the Times notoriously harsh critic is reviewing her book, and it's supposed to come out this week.
Marcus isn't maybe not that cute.
They also haven't really let us meet him at all, you know.
Well, I don't think we do.
Yeah,
but everybody is fucking going ham, of course, because Mary Testa is a dame.
She's also wearing an excellent pantsuit, and they're about to start again. Marcus blows Stanford a cute little kiss, and Carrie's like, I have to go to the bathroom, and he's like, oh, they're gonna do an encore, and she's like, I have to go to the bathroom, and she escapes.
Do you think this is 54 Below, just like the first? No, maybe. That shit didn't exist yet, did it?
I have no idea, to be honest, when it opened.
Well, in a 2018 version it would have taped.
Oh, definitely. So Carrie's in the bathroom then, and there are these two women talking back and forth, and they're like, one of them says, well, hold on, tomorrow we're going to go cruise cute pretzel guys at the Village Square Market. Is that as sad as that just sounded? And Carrie cuts in and is like, well, if it makes you feel any better, I used to have a thing for the Amish guys who make hairbrushes, which would be like a cute bathroom comment from a nice girl in a club, you know,
when you have those.
Ha-ha. Yeah, great. But the woman says,
like, are you Carrie Bradshaw?
Carrie says, yeah, have we met?
She goes, oh, I recognize you from your column.
And
I went out with Aiden right after you.
And then she kind of does this like, woof, like a yeesh. Kind of like it's the bared teeth emoji, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Great.
Thank you. A visual representation for you. And Carrie is like, who needs a book review when you've already been reviewed?
No, it was a face and run. And the face is like a.
Exactly.
Associate what face you think I would make with that sound.
But yeah, largely though, the emoji, I mean, I think it kind of does, because she kind of does it's like a lip pulled down, but like,
yeah,
exactly. Evocative enough for you guys? Should we hiss into our mics some more? No. So she's explaining to them at brunch what this woman's face was doing. And like, clearly she had thoughts and feelings, and Aiden had been saying whatever about her post-relationship.
And it was bad.
Right. Which also, like, I get it. It was bold of the woman to say it to her. This sucks. But also, Aiden is pretty much justified in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that woman's behavior is like unnecessary and mean for no reason. And I would also spiral out of control.
Right.
But I would just be like, that girl's a bitch.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because the thing that makes sense is that like most people in unexpected social interaction with someone like that would probably keep that shit to themselves. The fact that she felt compelled enough to and vindicated enough to like say it to Carrie indicates that it's like she thinks Carrie's a terrible human being,
right?
Which is fair, but also Carrie was awful to Aiden.
Yes,
twice.
Well, I think the second time around was so different. Much. She genuinely tried.
She did.
That was him,
and she had to do her truth, and she had to. Yeah, you're right. You're totally right. You're right.
Thanks.
But she also insisted on maintaining a relationship with Big throughout it all.
No, I can imagine that the things that Aiden has to say about Carrie are not
flattering.
The nicest, which is bizarre because I feel like after she cheated on him and they ran into each other, he was sort of like, hey, cupcake.
Right.
Long time.
Right.
But now he's like.
He was willing to forgive it and move on. But
when she like let him down, actually like with an honest, open heart, mm-hmm. he.
Well,
allegedly.
Not that this makes his feelings more valid at all, but I'm sure it felt like, oh, so I was able to forgive and move on and dedicate my life to you, and that wasn't even enough, you know? I'm sure it just, like, I'm sure all of the initial hurt came right back up. Anyway, it's not a surprise that someone feels that way about her, but it is a surprise to be confronted with it in a bathroom.
Yes.
Miranda looks like the mother of a four-month-old. She hasn't slept. Basically, she says that Brady has been just crying nonstop. He's not hungry. He's not tired. He's not anything. He just is a crying baby.
She's like, I can't do anything. I can't even get a haircut. And Samantha's like,
fucking Samantha.
Who like already does not need to be getting her haircut.
No, she looks amazing. Is like, oh, I need to confirm my very exclusive appointment at this very exclusive place called like Jordan Macy or something. John Marcy.
And Miranda's looking at her so with she just calls these, like, puppy dog eyes.
She's like, that would have been a crisis after she calls to confirm it in front of Miranda, who...
Miranda's like, gotta go back to prison.
Magda has to leave.
Yeah.
And Charlotte says, let me come and help you. And Miranda's like, you don't have to do that. And Charlotte says, actually, I have some questions for you because I am meeting with a divorce attorney on Monday.
Yay, Charlotte.
Go Charlotte.
And she asks,
Go Charlotte. It's your birthday.
We're going to divorce you like it's your birthday.
She tells Miranda, it's like something in Greenblatt is the agency. I know. I figured it out at the end. I got there. I knew there was something significant when I saw him walk in, and the whole way it happened, I was like, I knew it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know you don't. We'll get there.
So Charlotte meets with her lawyer, and he was smart, tough, and he's really, really early 2000s hot.
Yeah, I don't. Honestly, she said gorgeous, and then they showed his face, and I laughed out loud on the subway. He's just like a man. Like the people,
the guy that's like, is this man attractive or is he a 6 foot two white guy?
Exactly.
In a button-down?
With a little bit of a bulk and too much hair combed back. So Charlotte runs into this extraordinarily Charlotte problem where she's like, she wants to be a huge bitch about the divorce and getting what she wants, but namely the apartment, but she just can't be forceful or unladylike in front of such a handsome man.
Which I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah, literally fuck you. It's so, also he's not even that hot. Maybe, but just the premise is so flawed.
I wonder what he grew up to look like.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I wonder if he like became like a very like sexy dad.
So she like bursts out.
A daddy, if you will.
Mm-hmm, a zaddy. She bursts out when he tells her that Bunny has been really careful to make sure her name wasn't on the deed of the apartment at any point. She's like, Trey gave it to me. And then she says, I'm usually very refined.
And then in comes Harry Greenblatt looking for a bagel, dewy as hell.
Bald, cute, in a like, knows what he likes, weird kind of way. Then spits out a mouthful of bagel. He says, who the hell ordered blueberry bagels? I'm talking to Thelma about this.
You know who orders the blueberry bagels? Kyle does. At Up Rocks, when he orders, yep. He always orders himself a weird fruity bagel.
So he doesn't get them for everyone, though. Thelma here has really overstepped her limits.
Classic.
Hey, Thelma. I can enjoy a blueberry bagel on occasion.
Muffin.
Yesterday, they're very different.
Don't want bagel. Muffin. Bagel, savory. Muffin, sweet.
Thank you, Neanderthal Brook. I really appreciate it. It's like that episode of The Office where Kevin's like, why use many word when few word do trick? No, he says, why use lot word when few word do trick?
You mm-hmm. really turned me around to Kevin.
Kevin is the fucking best. I know.
Because I don't like the way that he speaks.
I know.
And I have a thing about that.
He's like, everything
Bridget
says.
Just became a fish from SpongeBob.
Yes, that was me. Just the opening, closing mouth. But to be fair, that's kind of how Kevin talks.
Yes, he is also a fish from SpongeBob. Anyway.
R.I.P.
Blueberry bagels. Dead. Thelma fucked it up.
Thelma fucked it up. But hey, this guy, he might be just ugly enough for Charlotte to be a bitch around. There are silver linings to every cloud. So she asks the other guy if he's also a good attorney, and then she switches lawyers.
And then Samantha is wearing, well, smoking weed, first which of all, I love about
smoking
her.
Weed and about to masturbate in the middle of the day with a glass of, I don't know, something alcohol
but
next
what?
To
wait,
her.
Wait, did you see what she was, look at her feet.
Yeah, she has on like a chain. It's like very Coachella barefoot California girl, you know?
It's very odd, sorry.
It was just weird that she'd be wearing it in bed in like lingerie.
I love that she does this.
I know.
Her rosé.
Her rosé, a joint, and she plugs in what looks like...
It's a back massager from the Sharper Image.
Right. So it's not an actual Hitachi wand, but it looks like one. And which reminds me, once I tweeted at... I've probably told this story on this podcast before. There's an episode of Parks and Rec where they have Recall Nope merchandise. And Retta at one point is waving around a Recall Nope back massager, which is clearly a wand. And I tweeted at her and I said, are you holding a Recall Nope magic wand with a photo of it? And she just replied, back massager, period. Because they don't address what it is in the show at all. And so that was my that's my favorite Twitter interaction I've ever had.
That's amazing. So Brady's like a colic baby.
Yeah, he's a colicky baby. He's, you know, if they didn't live in New York, he'd probably be one of those babies who could like only sleep in the car. You know, she'd drive around the block for hours kind of thing to make him sleep. But that's not possible here.
Daddy.
Wow, he got way hotter. Holy shit, guys.
He grew into his hair.
Oh, my
he
God.
He got a beard.
Harry's partner. He has just the right amount of scruff.
We'll post this photo.
Yeah, we'll do
he
it a side by side.
A daddy.
Yeah. He doesn't have, yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. 2018 was good to him. Only 2018.
This picture, even, he has like a small scar under his eye. And I just like imagine myself being
man
like,
of danger.
What happened to your face?
Yeah,
tell me. Are you okay?
Did blood gush out of there?
Oh my God.
Is that what made you so hot?
Daddy.
Sorry, oh my God, Brooke's yes. dad.
This is a perfect way for me to post that picture of us with King Triton this week for the pod.
Perfect.
Oh my God.
Perfect.
Thanks, daddies.
Incredible.
Daddies galore.
Daddies of the world. So
give a boy and every girl's pie.
Jesus. Oh my God. She can't be stopped. My favorite thing in the world is when Brooke makes herself laugh harder than I've ever seen other people make her laugh. It's the best thing. It's the best thing.
Sometimes Bridget, I'll text Bridget something and she'll be like, that's good. Very Brooke. And I'm like, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I told you, always good. I just mean it as a like, you're true to your essence and it's funny, you know? At 2:30 a.m., there's a knock on Miranda's door. The baby's been crying forever. And the woman's like, you got to stop the baby from crying. And she's like, look, I'm sorry. Sometimes babies make noise. That's what they do.
She's like, I know.
I have a baby too. And if you ever bothered to say hello in the elevator, you would know that.
Savage.
I'm Kendall. My baby is Alika. Have a nice night. And she walks away. And now Charlotte feels like a bad neighbor and a bad mother. And so she's gotten a bad review from inside her own building. Carrie goes down literally in a nightgown and a jacket, which I love. It's like the most casual jacket I've ever seen her in.
And then some guy's peeing on the street.
She also opened the episode being like, as a New Yorker, there are three things that always happen to you. One, you get your purse stolen. Two, public urination. And three, I don't remember, but something about reviews or something like that.
It's a good review.
Yes. So she's gotten the paper. And the review is good, but it ends on this like, it's like I loved living in her sharp, witty, humorous world where single women rule and men are disposable.
Yeah. And now that, of course, is a.
Now Carrie's upset that she's being condemned as throwing men away.
Yeah, because now she's already triggered about the Aiden of it all.
Mm-hmm. And she's on the phone with Miranda about it. And Miranda's like, look, you got a rave review. They keep repeating the name of the, I don't remember the first name. It's like Kashenko, the name of the reviewer.
Yeah.
Which.
Machiko Kankutani.
Yeah. Well, they also all keep butchering it too. And I'm like, okay, for someone who you supposedly all know and are obsessed with, it's like, you can't even say one hard name, right? If we all learned how to say Tchaikovsky, we can learn how to say this name. And Carrie is like deeply upset that these people might think that she thinks men are disposable. And there's a pause on the line and Carrie's like, Miranda? And Miranda goes, sorry, I fell asleep for a second. She's in the mirror brushing her hair, trying to put on scarves, like... And then
she's like, do you think Aiden thought that I thought that he was disposable?
Miranda says, Carrie, you did not throw Aiden away.
Which she didn't.
No, she didn't. And she says he must have said something like that to her. Where else would she get it? She said, Steve and Aiden are close. Has Steve said anything to you? Does Steve hate me now? She truly is spiraling.
And Miranda says, Carrie, you're spinning.
Which is
spiraling.
Yeah, exactly. And once again, Miranda being good, calling her friends out, especially when she's kind of losing her mind. And she's the one who's offering support here over kind of a silly thing, especially because Carrie got a good review. It'd be one thing if it was like a bad review and the review is that she threw men away, but it's not.
But Miranda's upset about Samantha and she's like,
specifically because Miranda essentially has not acknowledged that. Sorry. Samantha has not acknowledged that Miranda had a baby and that that's going to be life changing. She's just kind of like
rubbing it
rude
in her face.
About it
yeah.
whenever it comes up and being very, very single and childless to make Miranda feel bad, kind of.
Yeah.
She's like, I've alienated my neighbor, and now I'm alienating my friends.
And Carrie's like, you're not alienating anyone.
She says, tell that to 4D. She's pissed off I don't know her name. Do you know your neighbor's name?
And Carrie, like, laughs like, hell no.
It's New York.
I don't know my
I'm
neighbor's
I'm a bad neighbor,
names.
And I'm a bad mother. And Carrie's like, listen, you're just having a bad week. Can I do anything to help? And Miranda says, honestly, that helps. Just asking. I'm late. I gotta go.
Which is nice.
It is. And she says, congrats on the review. This is like a real friendship, but also if I were Miranda, I would be annoyed.
And Magda gives her shade for some reason.
She's also been like, she was like listening and then she's, yeah.
Do you follow Sophie Turner on Instagram?
No.
You need to.
Okay.
She does this series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have Lily send it to me about where she'll like do a hot take and then just go, and that's the tea. And
perfect.
It's so funny. I will show you after.
What made you think of it?
The shade that Magda just threw.
I see. So Carrie's column this week, or her question, is like, a neighbor, a face, an ex-boyfriend can cancel out everything we thought was once true. And basically it was like, why do we only listen to one negative review? Or does a one negative review really cancel out the others? Which I actually, for how obnoxious I found her in this whole episode, I think is a great question.
Yeah.
And is an interesting thing to explore.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. But I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I was trying to think
collecting
of
your thoughts.
Other examples.
Gather them into a...
Of that, like other versions of that idiom, which like I've definitely heard.
Oh, yeah.
Like one rotten...
Well, on the flip side of things, sometimes you're like one piece of shit in a sandwich still makes it a shit sandwich, you know? Like on the flip side, like there are some things where you're like, no, even a little bit isn't okay, you know?
Right.
Or if it comes to like relationships that are, you know, abusive or unhealthy, you're like, it's not worth... You know, the little bit soured the rest of it. But I think when it comes to like reflecting on ourselves or like viewing ourselves through the lens other people do, we give so much weight to the negative.
Yeah.
And want all positive.
Right.
People I admire so much are people who, not people who don't care what other people think in that sense, but more people who are kind of where this episode goes. But when people are just secure in themselves and the choices they're making. And so they're able to like let negative stuff roll off their backs.
Yeah.
Which is what I think you have to do. And the reason Carrie's reacting so strongly is because she has like latent like
guilt.
I feel bad about myself.
Yeah.
Pent up. After a long day in court, Miranda faced another jury. She gets off the elevator to this like cadre of women.
Of moms.
And their children. And I guess in the lobby of her building having like a secret clandestine group meeting.
And
but,
she's like, Brady, please don't cry. Brady, please don't cry.
And of course he sobs his way through the lobby. And she
can't open the door.
She has to open it by herself and hold it open and get them through while all these women are like watching her. And of course she feels deeply judged.
And she like waves
over her shoulder, kind of like, yep, saw you all there. Kendall clearly feels bad. Who's the other mom? She sees her and feels bad. Samantha and I were reviewing desserts.
Delish. Cute little like.
I think they say the name of it. I think it still exists. Yeah.
The City Bakery.
Yeah. She's like, listen, I'll buy you a brownie I'll buy you a dessert if you do something for me. And she says, I'm off desserts. And Carrie says, best brownie in New York City.
I want a brownie.
And she's, as she takes, I know I'm watching this both when I watched it the first time and now, which is now about an hour apart. I feel very strongly about the brownie. She's basically like, I want you to help Miranda. I want you to do something for Miranda. And Samantha's like, nope, I don't want the brownie. And Carrie's like, you're eating the brownie.
And Carrie's like, I just don't think it'll kill us all to be a little more supportive.
And basically Samantha says, which I think is fair of her, except I think it's her projecting inward out of being like, I'm single and I won't be judged for my, because she basically says, I'm busy tomorrow. And Carrie's like, busy? And she's like, yes, I have to return a vibrator and then I have a hair appointment. And she's like, I won't be judged for the way I live my life because of the choices I've made.
Which is very Samantha.
It's very Samantha. I hate it when people have babies and expect us all to be a Norman Rockwell painting. And Carrie has a nice point, which is, this isn't people.
Yes.
This is Miranda, and she's sinking.
She's having, yeah.
So Miranda ends up, Carrie does end up buying the brownie.
Yes.
Samantha's sweet about it, and clearly Carrie has like chastened her a little bit.
And another person recognizes.
Have we met her? I don't think so.
Julia.
She works at Vogue. Her name is Julia Afton. She says, hi, Carrie. And Carrie introduces her to Samantha and says that they work together. And
she's like, I'm
chained to the hem of Anna Wintour.
Is it Anna Wintour?
Anna Wintour, I think so. Whatever.
Anna.
Ms. Wintour, line one.
We have a call coming in from Ms. Wintour. Thank you.
Leaves for Fall. Groundbreaking.
Amazing, Miranda Priestley.
Thank you. So friend runs in to meet Nina.
Nina is the friend.
To meet Anna. And the friend is named Nina. And as she turns around to introduce them, it turns out it's Face Girl.
Face Girl. And she's like, Carrie, hi. And she's like, I was face to face with Face Girl.
And how do you two know each other? And Nina says, oh, I'll tell you over lunch.
Nina Katz. I'm Samantha Jones.
Oh, hi. Nice to see you again. Can we eat? I'm Starvation Central.
Which I hate. Yep. And they say bye.
Very nicely, but insincerely, as we know.
And Samantha's like, how do you know Nina Katz?
Carrie says, how do you know Nina Katz?
And turns out she's the booker for
SNL. Which is also, I think I threw you off when I said, because you were going to go full name and I interrupted.
Saturday Night Live.
There it is. Thank you for getting it out.
Thank you for letting me.
Basically, Nina loves to talk. Samantha knows her. And now Carrie's stressed out that means Nina's going to talk about her.
But Carrie's like, Samantha, that's Face Girl.
Right. And Samantha freaks out. So we have the most Samantha storyline. She goes in to Sharper Image and the guy's like, yeah, that's a back massager. We don't sell vibrators. And she's like, yes, you do. I bought this here 6 months ago. And that's like, not a neck, but not a vibrator. It's a neck. That's not a neck vibrator. It's a neck vibrator.
It's funny because sometimes for voice, like mm-hmm. people use vibrators to like massage their throat.
That is funny. That is not why Samantha uses it.
No, Samantha's doing the opposite.
As she's adamant, this like kindly 50-year-old man working behind the counter. She's basically like, you expect me to believe women buy these to help their sore necks?
And he just keeps repeating, it's a neck massager.
She says, fine, I'd like to return this neck massager. What's wrong with it?
He goes, it failed to get me off.
And he kind of takes a breath and she says, it has a warranty and it just stopped, made the saddest little sound. And then he joins the joke and he says, maybe you wore it out.
And she goes, honey, wouldn't be the first one.
He says, fine, just find another and go to the cashier. So she goes over and then we have this whole scene where there's like a younger woman and an older woman, both there looking at neck massagers and they're all pretending they're neck massagers. And then Carrie's like, oh no, not that one. Samantha, that'll burn your clit off.
And she's like, too many bells and whistles. And like the other woman, like
the older woman is listening
in too. Just like sort of holds it up.
And Samantha instantly established herself as the Michiko Kakutani of vibrators.
The reviews are in.
She's like, that one's actually a neck massager, not if you mount it. And then she says, that one will burn your clit off. And the woman says, even through underwear?
And she goes, even through ski pants.
There you go.
Sick Brooke loves to be Miranda. Mm-hmm. I mean, Samantha.
Time I just reach in and pull out one random name and hope it works.
Guys, where's Charlotte?
Baby Brady is not cooperating. He's on a playmat crying. I like this blousy jacket thing Miranda has on. It's very Miranda. So Kendall comes over with an oscillating chair that belongs to Aileika. It's the only thing that got her baby to stop crying. And so, of course, something about the vibration, which we wonder how these things are going to cross over. What witty jokes will be told? And they have a sweet moment where they basically, Kendall is commiserating with her and she's like, do you have friends helping? She also calls the chair a little controversial, which I'm like, that's so funny. I wonder what the thing was in 2002 that was like, this chair. She said, I got it for Aileika when I was about ready to throw myself off the fire escape. And she asks if her friends have been helping or if her friends have babies.
And Miranda said no.
No, she says, no, I'm the first one. And then she says, but they've been really helpful, kind of trying to defend them.
Kendall's like, no, they're not. They suck.
They don't get it. If they don't have kids, they do not get it. Which is nice, too, because Miranda's just like, it's a relief to have an outlet. And an outlet who inherently understands instead of her having to be like, no, I'm tired and I'm crazy and this baby won't stop crying. And this, she just gets it. She lives in the building. She's brought her this life-saving chair. The baby looks so much like Steve. I don't understand how it's possible.
Like Steve.
And then she says to her too, Miranda, you're not a bad mother. You just didn't have the chair.
It's
kind of the perfect, it's like a good review. You know, she thought she'd gotten a bad review and she just needed a little help.
Wow, Bridget, way to tie that all together.
Thank you. So Samantha
shows up at Miranda's.
Totally surprises her and she's like, Listen, you have a hair appointment. Samantha Jones has a hair appointment at 5:30 at John Mandy, so you better go.
And she's like, if you don't go in 5 minutes.
And she says, I'm counting to five and changing my mind, because Miranda keeps being like, are you sure? And then she starts counting and Miranda's like, okay, okay. She throws all of her clothes on and she, or her jacket on. And she's like, numbers are on the fridge and just don't take the baby out of the chair. It's the only thing that's stopping him from crying.
She's like, I can't believe you're doing this. She goes, neither can I, but here I am. Mary fucking Poppins. it's very sweet.
It's very sweet. It's so cute. And also, I think it's probably good for Samantha, you know, like try something a little out of your comfort zone.
And then she's at me, she goes, don't call boys.
So Samantha like
trots over,
struts down the runway over towards the baby. And she's like, this seems fine. Earlier when she and when Carrie's trying to convince her to go over, she's like, babies aren't my scene. And this one seems like an asshole. Carrie's like, you can't call a baby an asshole.
But then,
The chair breaks. As she's standing there, it just stops vibrating and the cries begin.
Carrie's eating cherries.
Carrie is eating cherries, watching SNL. Alec Baldwin.
In the middle of the afternoon.
Alec Baldwin's the guest star. Very 2018.
Uh-huh.
And talent executive Nina Katz pops up on stage and Carrie.
Screen on screen.
Spits out a cherry pit and she calls Samantha.
She goes, do you think Nina Katz is telling random celebrities that I'm the bad breakup girlfriend?
Which I know she has a book and she's a well-known columnist, but this just shows how far the spiral has gone.
Yes.
You know, like why on earth, the idea that Nina would be talking about a boy she dated briefly's ex-girlfriend.
I don't know. It seems like she does.
I guess it's true. It seems like she does. But still, I think I feel like
the fact that it's Carrie has, it's come up twice.
Right. Yeah. It's true. And then Heather Graham blows it out of the water. So fair enough. And Carrie eventually is like, "Where are you at a zoo?" And Samantha's like, "No, at your suggestion, I'm over at Miranda's and the baby will not stop crying. I don't know what his problem is. The problem is he's an asshole."
And Carrie's like, "Call Miranda."
And she says, "I will not. It took me months to get that appointment. Someone should benefit," which I also love. Because
she starts trying to juggle.
She just is like tossing toys into Brady's lap. And then she says, "Carrie, maybe Charlotte has time to talk about this kind of thing, but I've got a screaming baby on my hands."
I love that none of them are indulging Carrie.
I know. It's amazing. And also, it's so funny that Samantha, for once, can't, because she has, you know, she's literally the one who has vibrator. And
Miranda walks in looking worse than before.
Well, the haircut isn't great. I also thought it was, she granted it looks clean and put together, but I laughed when she said she hadn't had time to get a haircut, because I was like, we've seen you get 6 haircuts in the course of 2 episodes, whether you knew it or not. And she tells Miranda that the chair broke, and Miranda's like, what? Where's the baby? What's happening? And of course, the back massager has been plugged in and is leaning in the chair, making it buzz, and Brady's happy, happy.
And Miranda, he's what?
Happy, happy. Gonna be happy, happy.
Stop it. Don't rub their...
I'm not rubbing anything. I just want Ari to be happy.
Happy.
Miranda says, that better be brand new.
That's what I wanted to say.
You got there.
And now Charlotte is with Harry and they're doing business.
They're lawyers. Doing business. Bunny is being awful and basically whispering to her lawyer. And Charlotte's like, you know what? Say it to my face. So she does. She's like, you know what? I'm from the days of marriage where till death do us part means something. And is very hoity-toity and turkey-necked. And her dumbass bows. She looks like she's at a funeral, which she is, for their marriage.
It's like the funeral, like the
I'm
lady
amazed
from,
that
like,
after all the hurt you
Titanic,
caused my
Titanic.
The Titanic, yes, exactly. That after all the hurt you caused my dear boy, you would come here and look me in the face. And just at this moment, Charlotte's kind of done fighting. All she wants is the apartment.
Yeah.
Trey promised it to her. And then
a telegram.
Also all the lawyer keeps saying is like, there's a coin collection, his Buffalo coin collection, take it or leave it, which is so insulting. Because remember, Charlotte signed a prenup.
Yeah. Harry says, apparently our office just received a telegram from Scotland. Shall I read it?
And Bunny, of course, says, by all means.
Charlotte York was a wonderful wife. Stop. She did nothing wrong. Stop. Give her everything she wants. Stop. Seriously, mother.
Stop. Stop. Of course, which is a double entendre. And then... Yeah, that's the thing about reviews. Sometimes when you least expect it, you get a rave.
I just want to ask. It's 2002. A telegram?
overseas communication, especially like speedily, you know, because
an email.
I mean, I suppose, but whom would it have gone to?
I don't know.
Also, Bunny, you know, he wanted to get it to Bunny. He wanted to get it to the office. Telegram was actually probably pretty fast. It's the equivalent of like courier now. You know, we just don't call it that. Stuff gets delivered fast that way.
And Harry goes over and goes, ding dong.
The witch is dead. And that's when I realized who he was. I'd recognized him vaguely. I knew something, but I was like, oh, what a gorgeous origin story. I love it. And how very not Charlotte. And I love it.
And so Carrie's like,
actually, also to Charlotte's credit too, yeah. Bunny gets up to storm out and Charlotte didn't want to leave it on all the ugliness. So she pops up and she's like, Bunny, I just wanted to say, you know, I'm so sorry. This is the way this all happened. And Bunny goes, Alan, which is her solicitor's name. And they walk on out.
So
study and opposites. We have Carrie in her cutie little dress and some slip-on mules and Steve looking fresh off the park court with his 13-year-old shooting hoops buddies. And she's like, listen, I know you. I was a little bit vague. I just want to talk to you. And he's like, it's Miranda, right? It's Miranda. She wants me to call Les. I feel so bad. I get it. I'll call Les. And Carrie's like, no, not at all. And it's about Aiden.
And she's like,
well, his reaction is, oh, no, you're not trying to get back together with him, are you? She's like, well, no, but I guess I can tell from that reaction how you feel about me.
She asks how he is, and Steve's like, he's great now. But then he couldn't.
But back then, he couldn't get out of bed.
For days, weeks, 525,600 minutes.
Like a month. I brought him chicken wings. How do you measure a month? In chicken wings? In bedtimes?
In basketballs? In Steve's cute accent?
For some reason, I really thought you were going to say Steve's cute asshole was going to be the end of that. Don't know why my brain supplied that, but everyone have that image in your head now.
Basically,
Aiden was destroyed after it was over, and it was really hard, and he was like, he couldn't open up to women after this.
No, Carrie goes, is this?
He says he was emotionally distant and couldn't open up to women. So Carrie says, did he tell you that?
And Steve goes, no, we don't talk about shit like that. We eat chicken wings.
But then he says that Nina Katz, the girl he was dating, told him that. Yeah. So Nina had, you know, diagnosed. So here's where Carrie goes off the rails a little bit.
She goes because she knows Nina Katz is looking
for the cute pretzel guys at the Village Square Market.
Yeah.
So she brings Stanford with her to go and run into him. And she's to try and run into Nina so she can explain herself.
Yeah.
And she's saying all of this to Stanford, and they have a whole back and forth, and she kind of explains this crazy reasoning that she wants to explain to a stranger her side of a breakup story that this woman clearly doesn't care about or won't believe anyway. And Stanford's like, so what do you think of Marcus? And she says, nice. And then she's like, but so Aiden and fucking Stanford.
Stanford's up for himself.
Stanford's up for himself, baby. He says, stop. And he's like, Carrie, I've listened to a lot of Aiden. How many relationships have I been in since you've known me? And she's like, real or imaginary? Because she still doesn't understand that he's actually telling her something serious. And he's like, real. Listen, I've been dating this guy for a while. I just listened to you talk about Aiden forever.
2 years.
Literally, for the last 5 hours and 2 years before that. And all I get is a nice. So he's like, give me a full review. So she does. It's sweet. She starts in on like, I'm glad he makes you happy. She has been paying attention. She just hasn't been a good friend.
Yeah. So then we see Nina Katz, and Nina Katz goes, ha ha ha, one more time
and I'll know you're stalking me, which unfortunately Carrie is at this point.
And she's with Heather Graham, and she's like, hi, I'm Heather. Like, I'm like,
Stanford goes,
Heather Graham, I know. I love you. I don't know anything about Heather Graham. Is she a model?
No, she's an actress. She's kind of that exact blonde, like she's played a lot of. You wouldn't be surprised. Okay, hang on. Let me look up.
But she's like, hi, I'm Heather Graham. She's like, hi, I'm Carrie Bradshaw. And she goes, Carrie Bradshaw.
She's in The Hangover.
Makes the face. Sure.
She's in Austin Powers. That's the big one. Yeah. That's why you recognize her. So she's been in a bunch of stuff like that. Dang, she's still working, though. It's been a long career, honestly.
Yeah.
She's been hot for a long time.
So she makes the face and Stanford
she,
and
when she hears Carrie's name.
Yeah. And she's like, Nina, can I talk to you for a second? Which, like, alone honestly, I don't know if I would have the balls I wouldn't have let it get this far, but I don't think I would have the balls to do what Carrie's about to do.
No, I don't think so either. Partially because it's a fool's errand, which she realizes in the middle of it. Basically, the thing is, at least what Carrie says to her is nice. She doesn't try to be like, here's my side of the story. No. What she says to her is, look, I know you have some feelings about what happened with me and Aiden, but listen, breakups are awful and they are private and they are not necessarily symptomatic of what actually happened in the relationship between those two people and like what they had together.
And she's like, I loved Aiden very much.
And I would never deliberately hurt him.
And Nina Katz is kind of like, okay.
Okay. She's literally, which also if I was in Nina's position, I would say too, kind of.
This would also only fuel my fire.
Mm-hmm. Be exactly.
Like, you'll never believe what that crazy bitch did.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Carrie is like doing the worst possible. If she wants this to go away, she should have just taken a deep breath and cut her losses.
She's wearing a Juicy Couture velvet dress that I definitely had when I was in middle school.
She is. So she takes a deep breath and basically narrates over top that she realized the critic she needed to please the whole time
was herself.
And so she says, and so bye. And Nina Katz is like, yeah, bye. And then Carrie bumps into Heather Graham, who has the pretzels, grabs Stanford, and they leave.
And Stanford's like, I didn't know what to say to Heather Graham.
And that's that. So, ploppability baby?
Ploppability baby. Pretty ploppable, right?
I think most of it is. I think you're right. The telegram would be done differently, but.
I think if I ever have to do something like that, I want to be resolved via telegram. I think that's how I want all my friends to find out I'm engaged. Instagram? No. Everyone in their respective places is going to be like, you have a telegram?
It certainly makes the timing of it seem all the more remarkable that he would just rush into the office at that moment. I like to think that Harry and his partner got the telegram earlier.
Bridget, stop. Exciting news to share. Stop. Engaged. Stop. Telegram thing happened. Stop. Texting you now. Stop.
The party doesn't
and
stop.
And then I'll like,
stop.
Like, by the time I get engaged, I'll probably be like, joinks. And then I'll show up in the room.
My favorite thing was that you were thinking quietly about what that would be for like a good 30 seconds and then came back to it so you could tell me. It was beautiful and worth it. My reply would just be, Brooke, stop. Ah, stop. Or it'd be, I know.
I'm going to text you in telegrams, I think. Sometimes.
Good, I love it.
Not all the time.
No, not all the time.
But sometimes.
Just sometimes.
Who'd you resonate with?
Wait, did we finish? Hang on. Did we finish?
Miranda's ploppable.
Miranda's ploppable, but would be different, I think. They're I think she'd be in some like online forums, you know, or she'd get some like.
I just like think that a lot of the Carrie plot would happen over the internet.
A lot of the Carrie plot would happen over the internet. I think. What else was I going to say? Huh, I don't remember. Samantha's could work. It's so goofy again. Mm-hmm. The best part of it was the Miranda part, obviously, because.
Yeah. Like the most like truthful.
Mm-hmm. And they give her, meaning Samantha with Miranda. Like that part was lovely. And
a friendship we don't get to see a lot of.
Yeah.
And probably the most complex.
Yeah. Well, partially for exactly this reason, because like Samantha kind of takes people making choices other than hers as like a personal attack, which is fair because she makes choices that are different from what's like expected of women.
Totally.
And so it feels even more personal when it's from her friends. But I think it's a testament to their friendship, you know, that she can get over herself. And
totally.
Also that Carrie could ask. And that, to be fair, at no point in this episode, Carrie is the only person who doesn't offer to help Miranda, who doesn't actually help Miranda. She offers. She does offer. After Miranda's like, look, I'm losing my mind
and like,
on the phone.
Carrie's probably like, well, I got Samantha.
Yeah, exactly. Go. It's just like Charlotte does it. Miranda does it. And Carrie spends this whole time thinking about herself. Mm.
Mm. Who'd you resonate with?
Good question. I'm not sure. I think I resonate with Miranda, again, my secret baby, in the sense of that, like, when you are doing something or in a period of your life that, like, your circle of friends don't have personal experience with, mm-hmm. when you just feel like even when they're there for you, you know, there's like that level of just feeling like alienated or alone or like you've embarked on something completely different.
Yeah.
I relate to that, I think. I don't know. I relate to Carrie definitely in the like basic and I think I think she hits actually a pretty good universal truth here in that, you know, we can have a lot of positive things happening and one negative thing is really easy to fixate on or want to fix, or it's kind of where you run into that crux of like you can't control anyone's thoughts or feelings or actions than your own, and that can be really hard to swallow sometimes.
Yeah, totally.
And I think also for Carrie, it's a hard reckoning of who she did and that she might have actually really deeply that Aiden
hurt Aiden.
Or that just that this is going to be how Aiden remembers her.
Yeah.
Whether or not, you know, she actually did that or not, you know.
Well, everyone's going to have their own.
Yeah. What about you?
Charlotte, because she wasn't really featured this week. And I think I'm going
to
end up.
To that.
I'm going to end up marrying for someone I feel that initially I'm settling for, who's probably Jewish.
Wow, really?
I don't know. No.
Maybe. Oh, because that's what's going to happen with her. I was trying to follow the path of that. She'll feel like she's settling because he's not as cute or he doesn't live up to her standards, which is exactly what she needs. Got it. Got it. Got it. Brooke is gently smiling and nodding at me.
That was darker than it was meant to be. Sorry.
Don't apologize for the darkness. Inside your soul, you know?
Yeah, thank you.
And outside.
And then, not like in behavior,
mm-hmm.
but in spiral, I resonate with Carrie.
Yeah, it's a very human spiral. And again, the things I'm most critical of are the things that usually I like hate in myself, you know? So it's, I'm not, it's human of her. I think once again, to follow like that she went down and tried to find her to confront
horrible.
Her about it just is like
I think she's very lucky stupid. To have friends like the friends that she has who don't indulge it
and who all called her out. Yeah, yeah, truly.
I like my biggest one of my true biggest fears in life is that my friends won't tell me if I'm being like that. Okay, delta ups, delta downs.
They gotta
should
be
we
big
do
ones.
Should we do two?
Yeah, let's do two of each. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, she's ready.
My delta up one is my day yesterday where I made two different kinds of soup and Celie made chili and we watched The Parent Trap and played Pandemic Legacy.
That's a perfect Sunday.
It was beautiful outside. We went to Food Town and this soup is so good.
Oh, yeah, you made two kinds of soup.
Yeah, I'm going to give you some soup.
Oh, thank you.
And my
other, a soup sampler.
A soup sampler. And my second delta up is that we're playing Pandemic Legacy again.
Tonight? You have it ready?
Yeah. Good. Well, I have to wait for Celie. I just mean, like, we haven't played since August.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we were so disheartened.
Yeah.
But we... I, like, trapped. I was like, Kyle, do you want to come over and watch Doctor Who tonight? Celie, do you want to play Pandemic tonight? And I was like, they're both in the same room. And I was like, Kyle didn't know he was playing a board game. And Celie didn't know I was going to make him watch Doctor Who. And I was like, but we can do all the things that I want to do.
I mean, whatever.
And we did.
Plan a Brooke around here and you got to orbit it, you know? You know, that gravitational pull is strong, baby.
Yeah. My delta down is that maybe Ryan, the catfish from Bumble, is a scary psychopath. I didn't meet him, but he was, like, gaslighting me via text. I was talking to my friend Max about it, and I was like, I think I'm in an emotionally abusive relationship without actually having ever met someone. And he was like, you think?
Truly.
And I was like, I don't – and he was like everybody, like, was like, block him. I was like, no. No, I'm curious. And then I was like, this does not make me feel good.
No,
And so I told him that I didn't want to talk to him anymore. And then he's like, but we have this, wow, I'm so sad. I'm like,
we have nothing.
Then I'm like, why do
we have months of texts and you being crazy.
Really, truly scary.
Did you block him?
I haven't blocked him, but I, like, I'm not responding anymore.
Good.
If he tries to reach out
again.
If he calls me, he would call me 5 times at 3:30 a.m. and then make me feel bad that I wasn't awake to answer the phone.
That's crazy.
What?
You haven't even met the man.
Literally.
Also, 3:30 a.m. Bitch, go to bed.
Yeah.
Him, Ryan.
Yes.
Okay. Well, goodbye, knockoff Liam Payne.
He was. If that were really him, he was.
If it was him, he was cute. But you know what? Cute ain't a good cover for crazy, unfortunately.
And then my other delta down is that body is sick.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. Okay. 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 I'm going to try and start with my delta downs. Easy one. You all saw this coming. Left work at 6:10 today. It was dark outside. Upset about it. Also, just like everyone in the world is sick, I think, because of the rapid change last week.
It literally was like 80 degrees and then it was like, done.
Yeah, exactly. Goodbye. Have a little wind through your willows, madame.
It was like, Jess was like, oh, this has been a good time. I'm tired. Son, I need a break. And like took a nap and then we were like, go, 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 go.
My other Delta down is, I just, you know. That's all. That's just, that's all. But Delta up, one Delta up is that on Friday I went to visit my sister and her family in Poughkeepsie for the first time in like 6 weeks, which is just longer than I like to leave it, especially because my niece is 15 months and is just like exploding and growth and crazy fun things. And Saturday was their anniversary. Happy 6 years, guys. So I was able to hang out with the kids and they went to lunch together for the first time in 2 years since their 2 year ago anniversary when my other sister was able to watch for them. And I was like, wow, I'm glad I could do this for you. And they had a really nice time. And it was also just the best. I just love those kids so much. They fill me up. And my sister and husband, we had such good talks on Friday night. Ugh. And they are very important people to me. And it's just good to have that. I'm lucky that. I have that. Yeah. You will soon. My other Delta up, I'm going to keep for me. It's not. I just don't want to put it out into the world and in case I jinx anything. That's all. Keep this little bird in my hand for the moment.
I have a bird too.
You do. I know. I'm excited about it. Your bird's hatched. I have like an egg that's still in its mom.
Okay. Anything else? Anything goes.
Really?
I'm sorry. Really? I couldn't help it.
From the phrase anything else. She's
devolving. I heard the rhythms tune in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
The melody.
Enough. Fair enough.
What do we do next?
Shawty's like a melody in my head.
I'm a believer. Kong, 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 kong.
Brooke, where can I find you on social media?
Oh my gosh. You can find me at Twitter.
Just twitter.com, baby.
That's my handle. No, it's
That's Brooke. She tweets a lot about technical mishaps and new rollouts and good things.
At Brooke_ Wiseman. And you can find me on Instagram at Brooke Wiseman, no underscore. And if you put an underscore, you'll just have to sit with me in a room and listen to me stream of consciousness about all my feelings and what I'm thinking, and you can't get out. And I just need to talk.
Sign me the fuck up, bitch. How many times can I say bitch on this podcast? I am reclaiming it today.
Reclaim bitch.
Forgive me.
Bitch. Miss Bridget. Mm-hmm. Bitch and Bridget.
That's right.
How can I find you on social media?
You can find me. That's a great question, honestly. I don't even know sometimes. The phone has started telling me screen time, and I knew I would hate it the first time.
Off.
Yep, I know. And then I was like, well, good to know that's what that is. I'm never looking at this again. I love willful ignorance as I rot my brain and as the world descends into chaos. Anyway, get more of that optimism on Twitter at Mrs. Burt Macklin. And find me on Instagram at BridgetM37, please.
Collectively, we are at Splat Podcast on Instagram and Twitter and at gmail.com. And if you are someone who is good with websites, could you help us fix our website?
It looks good.
But it's old and we don't know how to update the pictures.
That's true. Oh, well, we can figure that out.
Or, I mean, we'll figure it out.
Crack at it, baby.
I mean, I had like a full meltdown the last time I tried to use Squarespace. So
I've heard it's about that hard.
I don't think.
A saga. But you had the first meltdown. My turn. I'll turn it into a tuna melt instead.
Too much tuna. Ugh,
I love them.
Please rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. You can listen to us there. Acast. Google's Play.
Stitcher. Spotify.
Google's Play,
baby.
Namaste.
Namaste. Google's Play. Bye.
If you're around on Sunday, this Sunday, and you want to come do Mamma Mia Sculpt.
Which you do, and you do.
It's at 10:45 in Bryant Park. I'm a yoga teacher. Bye.
Also, if you've never signed up before, you can get a free week, so do it.
This episode is sponsored by Core Power Yoga.
And I'm Piari Shapiro. Don't sue us. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.